Hello, witches. Welcome to episode 16 of Witch Talk. My name is Brie. I'm a Scorpio Sun, Taurus Moon, Pisces Rising, and this is a witch's guide for the week of April 8th to April 14th, 2024. We have some big ones this week. Pretty much everything happening this week is impactful. Obviously, the solar eclipse in Aries reigns supreme, and I can't wait to talk about that. But man, eclipse season really has me tired, guys. Like, I would say I'm naturally an early bird between 7:30 and 8 a.m. I don't know if that's actually early to anyone, but these past couple of weeks, it's been 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, noon. I have been so, so tired and drained, and nothing about my schedule and routine has really changed at all. But also, Mercury retrograde took a hit on me as well. I'm recording this on April 5th, 3 days before this gets released, because yes, I am a procrastinator. But anyway, on April 1st, first day of Mercury retrograde, someone hacked into the Topaz TikTok account and logged me out and then scammed me out of money when I tried to negotiate for my password back. Now, why was I negotiating with a criminal? I'm not sure, but you know, it was tough and I thought my life was over. So there's that. We are back now though, but I just have this crazy janky username that the hacker changed it to and I can't change that back for another 30 days. So ignore it until I change it back. Thank you. Also, this morning there was an earthquake in New York City. Hello. I was in Greenwich Village and I most definitely felt it. Since when did we start having earthquakes? They are extremely rare here, but it most definitely is important because since the solar eclipse is directly crossing the US, but mainly it's going to be hitting major cities on the East Coast like New York, I'm just like, hello? Astrology is literally laid out for you. It's there. Eclipses mess and shift and shake. Obviously, literally now, the Earth's energetic field, and what are the odds on arguably the most powerful solar eclipse we've had in the past decade? Literally, it causes an earthquake in New York City because the energy is just that strong. It's crazy. But before I get into the week ahead, since I have quite a few new people subscribed to the pod, hello, hello, just a reminder that the birth chart deep dive reading that I offer on my website is 30% off until April 25th using the code AstroRx. April 25th is the day Mercury retrograde stations directs, which means that's the day that it ends. And I just thought it would be nice during this unhinged eclipse and Mercury retrograde season to offer a discount to the people who would like to book with me. And as usual, you can find the link to that in the notes section of this episode, as well as two links to support Palestinian youth and families. Give what you can, research, and stay on top of the news as much as possible. Let's try our best to use our voices to help support people who can't as much right now. And with that being said, let's get into the week ahead. So we start the week off on Monday, today when you're listening to this, on the 8th of April with a solar eclipse in Aries, and then 8 minutes later, the sun making conjunction with Chiron. The eclipse goes exact at 2:20 p.m. Manhattan, New York, Eastern Standard Time, and it will be at 19 degrees of Aries. The sun in Aries conjunction with Chiron in Aries goes exact at 2:28 p.m., and it will also be at 19 degrees of Aries. Now, if you're quick with it, you're probably realizing from what I just said that all of these planets are basically going to be squished right on top of each other. When the eclipse goes exact, Chiron is literally 1 minute away from making an exact conjunction with the moon, but that energy is still very, very, very much felt because it's just so, so, so close. And I encourage all of you to look up the visual chart of this eclipse because what you'll see is essentially the sun, moon, and Chiron all extremely close to each other, and then the north node and Mercury also both pretty close to those three, and everything is in Aries. So there's a lot to break down with this eclipse. It's a really big one for a lot of reasons. It's bigger than the lunar eclipse in Libra we had at the end of March, and I think what you all will notice is that this eclipse and the big transits that follow, like the Mars and Saturn conjunction and the Jupiter and Uranus conjunction, are going to be the only phrase I can think of is of lasting impact. The events that take place and the shifts that are made with these few big transits in April are going to have a lasting impact for years, really. To start with the solar eclipse, this is called the Great North American Eclipse. I didn't make that name up. That's what the people are calling it. That's what the people are saying. Now, there was one in 2017 that had the same name, but this one is actually the longest since 2009, lasting for around 4.5 minutes. But it also is going to be seen by so many more people than in 2017. In 2017, around 12 million people in total saw the eclipse. But this time around, it's going to be seen by around 32 million people. And not only that, but it's going to be hitting major cities like New York and Philly and Chicago and Boston and DC. Yeah. And we really could end up with like 45 to 50 million people seeing the eclipse, really. So it's a big deal. Warning, it's going to be dark for those minutes. So on a more collective and general level, this eclipse is going to be putting a big focus on America. Like I said, it's going to be going right through North America. And I think it's important to remember that Aries is about leadership. And it's a cardinal sign representing making change and being a pioneer for change. And the cardinal signs are Aries, Libra, Capricorn, and Cancer. And guess what? The United States is a Cancer, babes. The Declaration of Independence was published July 4th, obviously, 1776. And I think this eclipse in the following months, since eclipses are like a six-month effect type of thing, are going to be really important for re-examining what the values of the U.S. look like. And I think we're going to see a lot of restructuring or a lot of questioning and exposing of what goes on behind the scenes in politics. Also, not only is the US, if you look at its charts, not just a Cancer, but a good number of its dominant placements are in cardinal signs. And so there really is this energy of creating rapid change. And there's major assessment, or should I say reassessment, since we're in Mercury retrograde as well, but reassessment of power and leadership. And I think that's pretty interesting, right? Considering the current state of our world and the craziness that's happening in the upcoming election. But whereas the lunar eclipse in Libra was about endings and release and identity and breaking free from whatever patterns that were holding you back, but also addressing those patterns and behaviors and the people who were involved with them, this one, the solar eclipse, is bigger and holds more weight surrounding new beginnings and that first step that you need to take in order to live in your new reality. Now, this energy has been being built and built for a while now. And with this eclipse, there's this energy of reaching a point where you really have to dive deep into your pain and your wounds, that's the Chiron, in order to move truly forward and heal. And some people are 100% ready to move forward, some people are not, and are still holding on to fear of something and are not ready to let go. And this eclipse is all about the why of it all. Why are you still holding on and clinging to situations and people that you know are not serving you and your purpose? You have to ask yourself, what aspects of your identity or sense of self need healing or attention? Are you being true to yourself and honoring your own needs and desires? Or are you seeking validation and approval from external sources? What old patterns or beliefs are you ready to release in order to step into a more authentic and empowered version of yourself? And when you start to answer those questions, not in a surface level way, but in a truly raw and authentic and vulnerable way, what I think you'll start to see is that instead of avoiding your pain, you'll connect with it and you'll find yourself opening up to new opportunities and completely stepping into a new phase of your life. And you're going to look back and be like, wow, that was not it. I was in a chokehold of fear and anxiousness and maybe needing constant validation and not feeling worthy for so long. And during the eclipse, Mars is very close to Saturn as well, which I'll get to in a little bit because it'll have its conjunction 2 days after the eclipse. But that's about taking action for your long-term goals. And how can you do that if you don't know what they are? And if you don't know what that looks like for you, you know? The eclipse is going to be the time to really try to sort that out. And on a very personal and specific level, this eclipse is going to be activating whatever house you have Aries in or the Aries ruled house of your chart. I had a comment the other day on TikTok of someone saying they have no Aries in their chart. So I'm going to take this as an opportunity to say that everyone has Aries in their chart. Everyone has every sign in their chart. And this is because when you look at your chart, it's a circle, right? Made up of the 12 houses and the 12 signs. And in those houses and in those signs are your specific planets and aspects. So all you have to do is go look at that circle and you're going to see, most likely on the very outer circle, you're going to notice that every single sign goes around that circle. And then you're going to find Aries. And if you don't have a dominant placement there, you're going to see that it matches up with a house. And that house represents some sort of aspect of life. And so those themes represented in that house is going to be activated for you. That is the most basic and simplest way I can explain that. Also, Aries is ruled by Mars. Look at what sign you have your Mars in. But yes, look at that. And if you have any cardinal signs in your chart and they happen to be close to 19 degrees, you are going to feel the eclipse and these transits way more than other people. Then on April 10th, we have Mars making a conjunction with Saturn at 14 degrees of Pisces at 4:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, Mars and Saturn are the two malefics in astrology. And so when they come together, they open up more space for you to reflect on and deal with, emphasis on the deal with, your hardships and the more challenging aspects of your life. This conjunction is about your assertiveness and how you take action to pursue your goals. And with both Mars and Saturn in Pisces, there will be this undertone of wanting to take action in a compassionate or spiritually inspired way. This conjunction can get you to take action with a sense of purpose and dedication to higher ideals or causes. And even though the conjunction can provide motivation and ambition, there could also be challenges or frustrations that are going to come up to the surface and you're going to have to address them. Saturn's influence could introduce delays and restrictions or a sense of heaviness and sometimes even depression that slows down progress or requires patience and endurance. Mars is assertive and impulsive. Saturn is cautious and conservative. And when these energies come together, there can be internal conflicts between the desire for immediate action and the need for careful planning and the consideration of consequences. And then Pisces is a sign associated with imagination and dreams and intuition. So the conjunction of Mars and Saturn in Pisces could create this period where your efforts are focused on manifesting creative or spiritual aspirations into a tangible reality with a disciplined and methodical approach. This conjunction is about making your dreams come true, but you can only do that with hard work and dedication. Everything is not so easy. If you want something, you have to go after it and you have to make sure that you're putting your effort and time into it. And I think the energy right with all of Aries is very supportive of that. And the last thing that is really important when it comes to this conjunction is boundaries and boundary setting. Pisces is known for its boundary dissolving really qualities, but with the influence of Saturn, there will be this need to establish clear boundaries to maintain stability and to avoid being overwhelmed by your emotions or external influences. And then we wrap up this week ahead with a classic Sun and Mercury Kazemi. This is not out of the ordinary. Sun and Mercury conjunctions happen all the time, but I think with the eclipse happening just days before and the fact that we're in the middle of a Mercury retrograde right now, it's important to touch on. When a planet is in a Kazemi with the Sun, it's a really powerful and refreshing place for that planet to be in. So this is a time where Mercury's qualities are intensified because of its proximity to the Sun. With Mercury so close to the Sun, there's going to be a strong emphasis on communication and intellect and mental activity, all infused with that fiery energy of Aries. And that could manifest as a time of clarity and decisiveness and strong and dynamic thinking, making sharp decisions. And we have to think about the fact that Mercury is retrograding right now too. Mercury retrogrades are periods known for disruptions in communication, but they also offer opportunities for introspection and review and reevaluation. And so with Mercury retrograde in Aries, there may be a focus on revisiting past decisions, reassessing personal goals, and reconsidering your approach to leadership and assertiveness. And then the solar eclipse preceding the Kazemi may have already set the stage for new beginnings or shifts in leadership dynamics for you, especially considering its alignment with Mercury retrograde and that intensified Aries energy. Okay, witches, that is your week ahead. I wouldn't really look at the eclipse for a lot of reasons that I mentioned in a TikTok video I have posted, but I would try to look at the comet that is probably going to be visible during the eclipse, as well as Jupiter and Venus. That is going to be really cool. That is what I'm really excited about. Essentially, during that 4.5 minutes of the eclipse where the sky is super dark, it'll be dark enough for you to see Venus and Jupiter. And right next to Jupiter is going to be the comet Pons-Brooks, which I hope I'm pronouncing right, because me and a bunch of astrologers have been calling it the devil comet because it looks like it has little tiny horns. Will it be hard to see? Probably. But it also only gets really close to the Sun and is visible to us every 71 years. So I would grab some binoculars and try. But during the eclipse, when the sky is dark enough, you will definitely be able to see Venus on the side of the Sun because it's the brightest planet. And then on the other side, you'll see Jupiter, the second brightest. And if the comet is bright enough, you'll see that too in between Jupiter and the Sun, but way closer to Jupiter. And that's what I'm leaving you with. Bye!